Amen. Let's open our Bibles as we do. If you're visiting, we always open our lessons with John 3:16, and we just read that. The reading of God's Word changes you, and this Scripture has changed us. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. So I'm going to read this in the King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Just as I open this lesson, you know, I heard the Holy Spirit before I came out just say he was pleased with our worship you know, those things, and it was pretty much what Deacon Shirley shared, that just if you have a need, you have something you're looking for, just reach out and receive. And you know, sometimes raising of our hands is an outward expression of our hearts inside. But even if you don't raise your hand, he sees your heart. And he sees your worship, and he's pleased. Amen. One of the things, we're talking about grace, and there's so many things that have been written, so many things in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about the subject of grace. And one of the things, you know, other authors have said, if you want to look at the importance of a particular subject in the Bible, look at how often that subject is brought up by the Holy Spirit. And so that is one area. Grace is an area that has been given a lot of space and importance in God's Word. And so I'm not here to dig into that aspect of some of the areas of grace, but there's one area that God has been putting in my heart to look at in the area of grace. One of the things that keeps coming up in my heart is that the outpouring of God's Spirit upon this earth is about to take an unprecedented explosion. There's an explosion that's about ready to happen worldwide. And you might say, well, I've been in certain areas or certain countries, it's already exploding, yeah? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And it's going to be unprecedented about what's about ready to happen. I was looking at something recently on YouTube, and you can look these things up. Some things interest me. This was some prophetic things that, you know, people that are operate in that office prophetically, and there's these things. There are some things that are on the YouTube that you can look up. One gentleman who's been around for many, many years has a university, Bob Jones University, and you can look up some prophecies given by Bob Jones, and he has some very interesting prophecies. One in particular that he gave, and the Lord showed him something in 1975, and he said that there was going to be an earthquake. This is what the Lord showed him, that these events would follow. Certain events would follow this earthquake that happened in Japan. And so from 1975, these events that would start to happen would be an economic meltdown in the United States, and there would be an earthquake in California unprecedented up to anything that has ever been seen. Unprecedented. And so when people, and they began to share, he began to share this. And he said, people would ask him, well, should I move? And he said, well, only if the Lord tells you. And so, which was a correct answer. Only if God tells you to move. So he shared that all through the, from 75 forward, people would say, well, was that the earthquake in Japan that happened? Because earthquakes happen in Japan. And he'd say, no, that's not the one. That's not it. That's not it. And he said in 2011, when that earthquake hit with the tsunami, he said, that was it. That was it. So he said, these other events will follow. Don't know when, but he said, they will follow. And so what's interesting is when you see these things, and so other people have been asking him, should I move from California? He said, only stay if God tells you to stay. So he's changed his answer. You stay if God tells you to stay, but you better move. Because it's not going to be good. But here's the thing. All of those prophecies, and there's some things that I think that we as a church need to understand, is that sometimes we read this and we go, well, yeah, okay, I know God said that, but he'll wink. No, he doesn't wink. God doesn't wink. And there's some things regarding the church. One thing that Pastor Judy shared recently by the Spirit when she came is she said the church is in a paralytical state. It's asleep. It's not functioning like the church. And God's purpose was that the church was supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that signs and wonders would follow. What does he desire? He desires that the church establish his kingdom here in the earth. That's his desire. He wants the church to establish his kingdom here in the earth so that he can get the glory, so that he can reach people. And one of the prophecies that Bob Jones gave was that not too long ago, he said that the Lord told him that there's going to be 1 billion youth come into the church, flow into the church, get saved. And he was using some statistics. I didn't look them up. Well, actually, I did look them up. He was making a comment about what the average age is worldwide. Now, that fluctuates between countries. But he said worldwide, if you look it up, you can look it up on the internet, the average age is 23.9 years of age. You could say it's 24 years of age. That's the average age worldwide. So worldwide, there's young people in this earth. And God is wanting to reach the masses. And who's he going to do it through? The church. And the church has something that the earth is looking for. The earth is looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're looking, unfortunately, at this point, the devil has gotten in the midst of things, and through centuries, the church is divided over doctrine. The church is now divided over politics. The church is looking to the government for their substance or sustenance. And the church is asleep. They forgot who they are. And the church is the body of Christ. And the Bible says, if you go, I mean, just you think about this in Ephesians chapter 1, when we're talking about grace, it says, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We're blessed. And that word in the Bible has the power in it to be in your life if you receive it by what? Faith. There you go. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's a reality in your life. You have to believe and receive. And when you do, the power of God comes into play. And that word becomes a reality in you because it has the power in it to bring it to pass. Because that's what he said in Isaiah. He said, my word will produce. I believe he said that in, don't let me misquote it, but Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 55. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth after out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So his word is going to come to pass, but period is going to come to pass, but it will definitely come to pass in your life if you receive it. And so we are blessed. And so that blessing, when you go back and look at it, that's covenant talk. And the covenant of God, when we have that, so he has, because we're in covenant with God through Christ, that he has bestowed upon us grace and peace and blessing. And he has decreed upon you the power to do just exactly what Adam did. And when you think about it, what did Adam do? If you go over, when he first spoke, when he made man, what did he say in Genesis 1:28? He said, and God blessed them. He decreed a blessing. He said he blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. He said, and multiply, and replenish. So the blessing that was decreed upon man has the ability within it to do what? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. So the church, with what's been restored through Christ, Christ, he was grace and truth. And so when we received Christ, we received grace and truth, and we received, which the scripture says, grace, peace, and blessing. So we have, the church has the power to reestablish the kingdom of God on this earth and be fruitful, multiply, and replenish, or do what? Resupply. So we, the church, has God's ability within them to resupply something. You don't have it? So that's why some of us, we look into the government to get resupplied. Forget that business. We have, the church has God's ability in it to replenish that which you don't have. Now see, some folks will say, yeah, well, I don't know about that. You got to get your mind renewed in order to see that and believe it. You've got to have your mind renewed and transformed so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so for me, and that is something, how is grace multiplied? 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So the Word of God, the power of God, has the ability in it to multiply the grace that's within us. So we can then in turn establish the covenant, the kingdom of God on this earth. The church has that. We have really sold ourselves too short. And the reason we have is because grace is not being multiplied because we're not spending enough time here. We're not spending enough time here because we're busy and we're tired. And so we don't go here, and I include myself with that because we all have varying degrees of busy and varying degrees of not spending enough time. You know, we all can say we should spend more time here, every one of us. And when we do, and we spend more time in God's Word, and we spend more time in worship, we're not tired, and we can begin to see how to replenish. We can see how. And so I'm talking to myself here. So don't think you're just hearing me. I'm speaking to Pastor Ed here too. Because the church has the ability, and it's faith in the Word that makes the Word of God work. It's faith in God's Word that makes it work, not just because it's in the Bible. So really, if we want to have an increase of faith in a particular area, what do you have to do? You have to teach on it. You have to meditate on it. If you want an increase of healing, you've got to teach and meditate on that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase in prosperity, you've got to meditate on that. What does it say in Proverbs? It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh you rich. And he addeth no sorrow with that. So his blessing makes us rich. So where the Word of God is, where we were sharing before, the entrance of his Word brings light. Well, when there's no revelation in God's Word or little revelation, we struggle more. Isn't that true? We struggle more because we can't see how to do something. So revelation in God's Word, or the light that comes from God's Word, allows us to see. And we can begin to see how to do the things that we need to do. And that's not just personally, that's ministry-wide. If we want to reach an area and we want to begin to have an impact in a city, or an impact in a nation, we're going to need God's wisdom to know how to do that. Because you could get tired trying to do it in your own strength. Well, let's reach the city for Jesus. And you may think, well, this is the way we're going to do it. Well, did God tell you to do it that way? Because you could spend a lot of money and a lot of time and make a little dent. But I know, listening to a minister recently, he said somebody, a friend of his, wrote him a letter about Newark, New Jersey. And he said at one point, I shared this last week, that was considered the murder capital of the world. And he said they began to go and to walk the streets and pray in the Holy Ghost. And they had a lot of crack houses and drug houses and so forth. And they began to call blessing. What's blessing? Calling heaven on earth. Begin to speak heaven's blessings upon that. And he said, little by little, they walk the streets and pray in the Holy Ghost and begin to call heaven down on earth and blessing. Little by little, these crack houses would close up. And he said that out of the, as you know, as we like to use this term, out of the clear blue, the head of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, decided he was going to give $100 million just donate it to Newark to rebuild it. Well, those kind of things don't just happen. They don't just happen. You're going to have an impact, and how are you going to do that? In order to change the natural, you've got to have an impact. That's what we were singing before. You've got to shift the atmosphere. And the way you shift a natural atmosphere is to have an impact in the spiritual realm, and it shifts the natural realm. So if you've got things you're facing and you just see roadblocks everywhere, you shift that by getting over into spiritual things to have an impact in the natural realm. And so even where that was concerned, you've got worldwide headquarters. Panasonic moved their worldwide headquarters to Newark. And so they had an impact in that city. And so I think she said the crime is 10% what it was before. Well, they had an impact. They shifted the natural atmosphere by praying in the Holy Ghost. And we can do the same thing, and we are doing that as we come together on Friday nights. We're shifting the atmosphere in this area. We come together and worship and praise and call down those things that have held sway in this area. It's shifting the atmosphere. What is it going to affect? You're going to find people who just wake up and go, man, I need God. And they don't know why, but they just say, I need God. How do I get over here? And they've been walking in the dark, and now they can see, because darkness has been pushed away. So now they can see. And so they see they have a need for God. And that's where grace comes in, and the increase of favor upon our lives individually and as a church has an impact. And let's turn over for a minute here. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? Getting something in your spirit to feed on? Romans chapter 5. And look at chapter 5, verse 1. And we're talking about a few lessons ago, talking about grace and how we get access to it. This is right here. Therefore, being how we justified by faith. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And King James, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, and I like this, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that word stand in the Greek means, I'm not going to try to, it's histemi, but it says to cause or make to stand, to make firm, to fix, establish, to cause a person or thing to keep his or its place. That's just like James. If you have access into this grace wherein we stand, what does it say in James? It says, any man, he said, be like a wave tossed back and forth. Right? Well, if you're standing on that grace, it says here, you stand immovable. You're not buffeted. It's like in Matthew. It says, I believe in Matthew 7, it talks about the man who built his house. He built his house and dug down deep. Put it on a foundation. When the winds and the storms blew, it was not moved or shaken. How you do that? Grace. The favor of God on your life. And actually, you can write this down. Grace also is, if you get it right down to it, Exodus 33:13. This is, I believe this account is of Moses. It said here, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And the Lord said, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You could filter this all down. You could say that the grace of God is really the presence of God. The grace of God is the presence of God, which is really the favor of God. He favors us with his presence. And so, when we go in a place with his grace, his favor upon us, it's really his presence that goes with us. And we have an impact in wherever we go because we bring his presence on the scene. Now, one of the things I thought was interesting when I was looking at these scriptures last night. Let's go back over to Genesis for a moment. Genesis 1:28. And this is the account where God is saying, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's interesting. Look over at chapter 9. Just after the flood receded, he said the same thing, the exact same thing to Noah. Chapter 9 and verse 1. After... And, you know, and we always read this sometimes, verse 22 in chapter 8, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time, and well, the Lord said, in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore every living thing, or everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And look at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was interesting. He decreed the same thing, the same command upon Noah after he destroyed the earth and everything in it. He decreed the same blessing, the same command he put on Noah that he did Adam. I thought that was interesting. And you can see that word, if you look up, well, the word replenish means to stock with abundance. It means to perpetually renew and supply. So that means if you replenish something, you're perpetually renewing it and supplying it. So the blessing, let me have you turn over to Romans 8. Flip over to Romans 8. And verse 11, we're talking about the blessing. The blessing of Abraham is upon us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, it says here, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What's quicken mean? Resupply. Perpetually renew and resupply. Isn't that what the Spirit is? The Spirit of grace. The Spirit of favor. If He's in you, He will perpetually make alive and resupply that which is lacking in your body. Even though your body is mortal, the immortal lives in us, and He will quicken, He will renew and resupply. That means replenish in you. See, we sold ourselves. How do you access this grace that's in you? Faith. And faith is going to activate that in you. Anybody see that? What is Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3? It says, blessed, we read it before, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We're not going to be blessed. We hath been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How? In Christ. We are blessed. In Galatians 3:9, it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So you are blessed, which means that's not just a cute saying. That means you have the ability in you to resupply that which is lacking in this earth. Not in your own ability, but in Christ. You have the Word of God in you, which has the power within it when it's spoken to change something and to renew and resupply that which is lacking. So when you speak to your body and command it to be restored, the word that you speak, the word of grace, the word of blessing, causes my body to change and renew and resupply that which is lacking. That's the word of God. That's the word of grace that's in us and upon us. Don't check out on me. Meditate on it, because when it gets down in your heart, you will not say, I can't anymore. Let me read this. This was by an author. Anybody ever hear of E.W. Kenyon? Anybody ever read any of his books, E.W. Kenyon? This was a book that was co-authored with him. You can buy it through Amazon. It's called The Power of Spoken Faith. That's the name of the book, The Power of Spoken Faith, and it's co-authored by Don Gossett, G-O-S-S-E-T-T, Don Gossett, and E.W. Kenyon. But he had in one chapter in there that I was looking at yesterday. It was called The Power of Affirmations. And he made these statements, E.W. Kenyon did, which I thought was a very interesting comment. How many know that if we forget history, we're apt to repeat history? If you forget history, you're apt to repeat it doing the same things. And that is why the devil fights to divide the church from the old to the current. He fights to separate the young and the old, because when there's division, the youth tend to repeat the same mistakes as their parents did. Because he doesn't want that wisdom to be passed down. And so this was what he shared in this just a quick statement. He said, continual affirmation has infinite value. Continual affirmation has infinite value. He said, our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. I'll read that again. Our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. Now, this is what was poignant to me. He said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. I thought, He said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. I thought, So Methodism in its early days was powerful. And we know that. We read history. But what has happened is we forgot. We don't read it. Or people today don't put people in remembrance of that so we can make adjustments. And so he said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. We have to constantly affirm who God is, what he is to us, who we are in Christ. We have to constantly affirm the Word of God so that it becomes a reality in our lives, which is really what God wants. He wants us to establish the kingdom of God here in the earth. And the way we're going to do that is to affirm, to release the Word of God. Because what? We are a speaking spirit. We are a spirit that releases words. This is a planet built by words and responds to words. And so that's what's going to change things. No other species was made in the image and likeness of God except us. And so we have the ability, God-like ability, to speak to something and change it with the power of our words. Because, yes, Jesus came as God in the earth, but he was a man. And he came here as the last Adam. And he came here as a prototype to show us how to live in this earth as a man. And so he divested himself of all of his divinity. And he operated as a man, anointed of the Holy Ghost, here in this earth. And so we need to stop looking to this earth realm for our needs. Not that God won't use it and use people and use situations to supply, but we have the power in us to speak words of blessing to change the atmosphere. That's what Jesus did. And we are to operate like him. We are not to be subject to the conditions. We're to change the conditions. And that's what he's looking for in this end time. That's what it's going to take in this end time. It's going to take an increase of grace and favor and his blessing upon this, the church, to affect this world, to impact it. And we can. But it's going to take a change in our thinking. We've got to renew our minds. We can't look at ourselves, I can't, I'm this. Because what has happened, and I shared this with Pastor Judy and the musician, and Pastor Greg was with me. I said, I'm sensing this. You know, I've shared this before. I may not stand in the office of a prophet, but we all have knowings. We know, we sense. I stand in the office as a pastor. And God anoints and promotes. But in this office, we can sense, sometimes we see things. And I can tell you this, that before Jesus' return, it's going to require the church of the living God to stand up to the adversary and not buy into the things that we see, the natural things. And I said, I was sharing this over the dinner table. I said, if you think for 1 minute, now I know there are certain segments of the population that buy into because they can't see themselves any other way. As a man thinketh, so is he. And the way you see yourselves, you don't identify with who you are in Christ. You don't even identify with it. You go, that's not possible. With God, all things are possible. With man, it's not. And so man's trying to fix things, and it's not possible. Man says, take this medicine, but we got all of this side effects. So it's not possible with man. He's trying to fix and to supply our needs when God says all your needs are supplied by me. And you have the power of God, the potential, the Word of God in you to change and resupply what's lacking in your life. If it's money, if it's a job, if you have a business, what do you have? You have the ability and the potential in you to change it. But what happens is, what does he say? He said, this day, he said, what are we supposed to choose? Choose either life or death, blessing or cursing, but choose life. And so sometimes we choose death-filled words over life-filled words because we forget, we get clouded, we get caught up, we get busy, and we don't see, we forget who we are. And we release words of defeat. Adam didn't do it. And when you look at, you go through all of the people who had blessing upon them, Joseph didn't, Daniel didn't, none of them did. They remembered who they were in Christ. They remembered who they were in God. But the point I'm making is that if you have lack in your life, if you have lack in a ministry, if you have lack, you have the grace, the favor, the blessing of God upon you to cause that to be replenished and resupplied. And God is looking for the church to wake up. And I can tell you, he will use the ones that yield. He'll raise up, not because of who you are, but God will reach over thousands of people, and he will go to the ones that are yielded to his word and speaking his word so that you can be a city set upon a hill, so that you're a light, a beacon, an example to others, not to exalt you, but to help others see the way. And But let me get back. What I was sharing was, I have this sense, and I've been seeing it and reading it in the natural. And I'm reading some things, posts that are being made on Facebook from Christians buying into the racial issues that are going on. And I said, there's an undercurrent, a real angry undercurrent going on right now. And it just take a little bit and it'll explode. Who's supposed to stand up and be representative of God in the earth? The church. But what I'm seeing is the church is getting caught into the language and the divide and the discussion, and not saying, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. There's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We're looking at the outside and forgetting who we are in Christ. I'm a child of the King. And we're getting caught. And I said to Pastor Greg, I said, it's an interesting thing, because I traveled a little bit with Pastor Sarah and Clinton, and I would go in settings where they were at the National Religious Broadcasters sessions. And Pastor Clinton, and I never understood, well, I did eventually understand why, but in the National Religious Broadcasters, which is really for all radio people and television, anybody who's in broadcasting, that's what you would go to this meeting and participate. And of course, they were on the radio. And so I never understood, like I said, eventually I did, but within that setting, you had the HNRB, which was the Hispanic National Religious Broadcasters, and then you had the BNRB, which was the Black National Religious Broadcasters, all operating within the National Religious Broadcasters. And I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? That's division. What is that? And so I understood after a while that some of those things came about because of prejudice. But Pastor Clinton and Sarah would not. He told me, he said, I will not join that group, BNRB. He said, why would I want to join that? He said, I'm coming to the National Religious Broadcasters, which has all the people to get. Why would I want to isolate myself with that? And he told me, he said, they came to him and they were upset because they said, come over and join our group. He said, I'm not going to join your group. What does that mean? And he said, if they had come to me and said, because he told me, he said, if they had come to me and said, could you come and share with us, as a black man, could you share with us how you became successful as a radio producer? He said, I would have instantly gone over. But they didn't ask him that. They just wanted to come join their group. He said, I'm not doing that. And so what I saw was that because Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton stood up for the Word of God and said, I'm a spirit being. I don't define myself by my house that I live in. I am a spirit. And I'm a child of the King. And I'm not affected by what my house is. And I'm not restricted by the house I live in. And so because of that, they were embraced by Billy Graham. He operated on the executive board of directors, and all the people, a wonderful, sweet gentleman, his last name by the name of Zimmerman. He was in his 80s, and we met him. He was one of the founders of the Assembly of God. Sweet, sweet, sweet man. Sweet man. And that's the kind of people that they interacted with. People of that caliber, and not just get sidetracked over here. And so we need to do the same thing. And I said to Pastor Greg, I said, we are Redeeming Love Christian Center. We are going to stand for God, and we're not going to get drawn into these issues because we're spirits. And we don't define ourselves by what we have on the outside. Now, society may. Society does. And depending on where you live and you educate, they'll define some things. And if you buy into it, you won't go anywhere. You will live beneath your privileges. You are blessed of God. You are a spirit being anointed with the Holy Ghost, sealed with the blood of Jesus, anointed of God. And don't dare let society dictate to you who you are. You are God's child. And I'm telling you, the words that you speak will change your town, will change your block, will change your family. But if you take that bait, how you see yourselves will be how you act and how you talk. And you will never speak the words of the kingdom. You will never speak blessing over anything, because all you'll talk is death. You'll say, well, I can't go anywhere. You know, as one girl, she keeps coming to our church. She keeps reminding us, well, yeah, you don't know. I live in the hood. That's all she talks. You know why? Because her mind hasn't been renewed yet. She's still living in the hood. She's still restricted by that in her thinking. And how do I know? Because that's how she talks. But she's a sweet spirit. She's a lovely, lovely person. Sweet, sweet, sweet. And God has a great plan, and it's like an onion. You got to keep peeling off these layers of life so that you can begin to wake up and see, wait a minute. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are possible to me because God is for me and He's not against me. He said He'd never leave me or forsake me. So that continual affirmation of who we are in Christ has infinite value. And we need to profess that. When we do, it's going to make a change in you and everybody around you. And everything around you. And I'm telling you, I know it, but we're seeing... One of the words that Pastor Judy said, the Holy Ghost said through her, he's been saying this, and he's been releasing people from this ministry to go into other nations, other areas. And I know this, just like the Kenneth Hagin ministry, when we were out there, they now have 153 training centers worldwide. It's just exploding. And their recent, I didn't mean to get sidetracked here, but how God has multiplied what they've done. They just started this past month, within the last 2 months, they opened up a training center in Haiti and in Port-au-Prince. And he said that alone would be significant, but he said what makes it significant was that when it opened, there were 300 attendees to that training center. And he said what makes it significant was that all 300 were pastors. All 300. So he said the ripple effect that's going to happen in that country is unprecedented. He also said when we were there, Pastor Hagin's son was leaving for China. Now, he shared this with us personally over the summer. He said, I'm going to share this. In September, he shared it. He said, we're going to share this, but we ask that you don't talk about it. He said, because we're opening up a training center in China. And he said that all of these things so far are underground kind of things. But he said, it's just exploding. And his son was off the he was leaving for China to go meet one of their graduates over there that's been working in China. So it's just exploding. So we have to get to the place where we refuse to have someone tell us what we can do and can't do. You have the grace of God and the blessing of God upon you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And those that are of faith are blessed of Abraham. One of the things, let me just close with this. And listen to this just for a moment. When God spoke, or he spoke words, he spoke light be and light was. Let me ask a question. Was God subject to time? Was God subject to time? Was he? No. Let me ask this question. When Jesus came to the earth and Jesus spoke to the fig tree, was he subject to time? He was not. When we operate in God, we are also not subject to time. We should not be serving time. Time should serve you. Now, how do I mean that? When Jesus spoke and he said and commanded, what was his first miracle? What did he do? He turned water into wine. Was he subject to time? Was he? Think about the normal process of making wine. You got to pick it, you got to squeeze it, you got to strain it, then you got to do all that other process, you got to ferment it, then you got to put it in bottles, then you got to stick it on the shelf, and then it has to do what? It has to age. Was he subject to time? No, he was not. And let me ask you, I know God spoke this thing to me years ago. He asked me to pray about something and to speak to something that was going on in this young lady's life that was being affected by demon spirits. And at the time, I was home. And she was in her home. And my thinking up to that point was, well, I have to be there to do that, to speak, to lay hands. And he said to me, oh, no, there's no distance in the spirit. And I said, okay. So I did what he told me. I commanded those demon spirits to cease and to depart from this woman. Well, that was new to me. And when I went to visit this person the next week, it was like I was talking to a different person. They were totally free from that, bright-eyed, sparkly, and I thought I hit the wrong doorbell. Because when I went, I didn't even recognize the person. No distance in the spirit, no distance in time. And so when we operate God's word, we should not be subject and are not subject to time. And the reason I say that is because, let me ask a question. When you speak, when God gives you a command to speak to money and have it come in, did you have to earn it? If you think about all that has to take place to get that money, and when you spoke to it, it just comes. favor comes, blessing comes. And so what I'm pointing out is that with God's blessing upon you, the power of God has the ability within it, the power within it, to change, replenish, and resupply. And that is not subject to time. Think about it for a while. It'll dawn on you. Because there's things... I'll close with this. Because sometimes we reach a point where we've had enough. Go over to chapter... Where was I? Chapter 3... Yeah. Chapter 2 in Genesis. Chapter 2 in Genesis. And look at verse 15. This is after he planted the garden and God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed and so forth. And then it said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. Is there anything in there about toiling? Nope. There's no toiling in there. And that only came about after the fall, where he said, now, in verse 19 of chapter 3, he said, and of course 17, he says, because you hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and have eaten the tree and so forth, he said, cursed is the ground, in sorrow shalt thou eat all of it all the days of thy life, thorns and thistles and so forth. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. So in other words, toil. But Jesus has restored that which was taken from us. And we are, because of faith, we are blessed of faithful Abraham. So that which was taken, now we are blessed with the favor and the ability of God. We are to continue what Adam started. And what Jesus came back to take back from the devil. And what did he do? He said, no, he's going to give it to the church, his body. We are to continue the work of the kingdom here. And to replenish and resupply the things that are lacking in this earth. And to perpetuate the kingdom of God. So it is never meant for the church to look for sustenance apart from God. Never. And this takes some mind changing, and it also is going to take some faith in the Word of God and looking to God for, how shall I say it? In other words, when we get to the place where some of this doesn't help, how are we going to grow? We're going to grow in faith by hearing it, believing it, doing it. And as you walk, you're going to walk. The light of God's Word and the revelation in God's Word is going to, as you meditate in it, what does the scripture say? As I walk down this path to the ever, somebody help me out. Where is that scripture? I believe it's in Psalms or Proverbs. that as we walk into the brighter, as we walk this path, I'm trying to think of that scripture right offhand. But as the revelation of God's word comes, we're going to have a greater understanding and greater faith, greater grace, greater favor, and greater impact. I'm going to close. I think we need time to meditate on this. It's full today. Amen. We'll stop here. Because I've been meditating on some of these things for years, and some of them are becoming clearer and clearer to me from an understanding standpoint, that I'm looking more, instead of depending upon natural circumstances to fall into place so that we can do something. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. I'm waiting, okay, it must be okay now because everything's lining up. Well, now I'm waiting on time for things to change so that it's okay. No. Because you are supposed to change the circumstances. Now, yes, there is time that God may say, okay, it's not time yet. But I can tell you one thing, God will give us instructions as we walk down this path. There may be an objective way down there. It's like what he's giving us instructions to speak to the mall next to us and to call it in, to speak to that big piece of property, call it in. That's like the biggest thing I've ever thought or dreamed or saw. Now, that's way down the road, but what he's saying is, as we walk, how did he tell the Israelites to take the promised land? How did he do it? He said, city by city by city by area. You don't take the whole thing all at once. And so as you get, he says, okay, you're going over there. Okay, as I go there, I'm taking an objective, city by thing, and God will give us the words to speak, to take. And that's, in a sense, what I'm sharing, is that as we increase in the favor of God, as we increase in His grace, we will have the ability and the power to change this world and the things around us. What does it say? That's it. That's the scripture I wanted. The path of the just is a shining light. Yes. And that grows brighter. Yep. Absolutely. Proverbs 4:18. Thank you. That's the scripture I wanted. And there's one translation that just talks, it really explains it well. Praise God. Amen. I'm finished. That is enough for today. Because sometimes it gets so big inside that what I'm saying, just in essence, is keep in mind of who you are in Christ. And don't let society tell you what you can do and can't do, where you can go and what you can be in this life. You are a child of God. And you are blessed because you are of faith. And that's something that's not just a word of communication. That word, it's like saying, light be. And it was. He said, you're blessed. And that has the power within it to bring it to pass. So he's now communicating to you. He's calling you blessed. And essentially, he's saying, now you have the power and the ability to bring resupply and provision here to the earth, just like Adam did. He didn't think about how to name the animals. He just did, because he was blessed. He had God's mind. And because you are blessed, you have the mind of Christ. And you have God's mind. So you don't have to toil. You don't have to struggle. Praise God. Praise God. Does that bring any light to something to anybody? Praise God. So wherever you are in this earth, wherever you are in this world, we're to make an impact. We're to change our environment, change our cities, change our homes, change our nation, and we can. Which is really, you see, what the devil is trying to do is trying to blind you to the revelation of your divinity in God. And you say, divine? Yeah, you are in Christ, you are divine. You are holy. And he's trying to hide that and blind that from the church as to who they really are in Christ. Because when they become unified, he's over. He's done. When the church becomes unified. And that's why Pastor Greg and I, I'm telling you, if there's one thing I will stand for, and that's unity in the body of Christ, not division. I don't care what kind of division comes up, not dividing over politics, we're not dividing over race, we're not dividing over church doctrine. No, not going to do it. And that's why, and I'll make this statement, that's why when you look at, it says, how do we access this grace? It's through faith. Why is there unity? There's one thing that unifies the church. What is it? Jesus. That's it. We're unified. We don't bicker about that. Oh, yeah, Jesus, oh, yes, he's saved. But now if we get over into something else, we're not. See, we're not. And that is a trick of the devil. Because the church then is not unified. There's no unity of the faith. And so, he has access. But we need to find common ground. This is one thing Pastor Sarah and Clinton did. They would never, ever, in certain settings, push what they believed. They'd find common ground to hook up with. And it was always Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. And leave the other stuff alone. And that's what we need to do when we have other brothers and sisters in our area of like precious faith, they love Jesus, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Jesus. And like Dr. Price says, or now it's Apostle Price, he said, why are you, we heard him recently, he said, why are you bickering about doctrine and what I believe and you believe? He said, let the results speak for themselves. He said, you believe God, let the results, the blessings, let that favor and that grace upon you and all that God's doing, people will go, hey, what? I want that. I want that. Why bicker about it? Why? Well, if you need this, you know, just do it. Just do it. And I thought, amen. Just do it. Let God bless you. Let him exalt you, and then it'll be a beacon, and people will come. They'll say, what is it? What are you doing? Why are you so blessed? I'll tell you why. They'll ask you. Amen. Amen. Amen.